This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break. Well, this is actually the Nostradamus podcast, as last week I kind of predicted a little something. New York likes firing coaches. They do, right?
I believe I've heard that, yeah.
Outside of Derek Fisher, who somehow has kept his job.
It's a miracle.
See, I called it. I'm Sean Anderson. Alongside me is Ricky Woodman.
What's up, guys?
And Dave Oster, who's been here for a month.
That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive, at least for you, for the horror stories of Dave Oster that I've heard.
Hey, I'm here, I'm conscious, I'm talking. What more could you ask for?
Some would call Dave Cal. I'd call him Cal.
On the way.
He's getting
coming
there.
For you.
He's getting there.
Cal?
Yeah, Cal Ripken.
Oh, okay. I know we can't. I was thinking like a TV character, no, not Cal Ripken.
No,
the Iron Man.
No, he's not Cal from Talladega Nights. Don't steal my wife now.
That's exactly what Derek Fisher did, though. He stole Matt Barnes' wife. Mm-hmm. Just completely stole off mm-hmm. of him. And then, you know, D. Fish gets fired, doesn't even try to recuperate, and just goes on to a trip to Mexico with, yep.
Going
with
on
Matt
vacation.
Barnes' wife.
Well,
going
now
on vacation.
He's got the time now. Now he doesn't have to worry about the Knicks. And
I can't
Jackson.
Blame him.
I mean, Phil, you know, he brought him in for two seasons, thought he could run the triangle, and then D. Fish kind of, he sucked. To be blunt, he
sucked. Suck is a nice phrase. Yeah,
better this year though than last.
Oh yeah, no, I mean he was.
I mean,
last
Porzingis
year dropped what 65 games.
Mm-hmm. He's got
17-65, 20.7% winning percentage. This year 23-31 on the up and up, and I believe they were in somewhat of a playoff contention because mm-hmm. the East is pretty close. I don't think they were in a
they
top eight spot.
They slid a little bit in the last month, but yeah, they were in contention.
I think that was really the main reason he got fired. I mean, they're 16.5 games at the time of recording this. Hornets are in the eighth spot. They're 11.5 games back. New York Knicks are 16.5 games back. So five games away from the A spot, but in their past, you know, 10 games, they're 1-9 and they lost six straight. So obviously Phil Jackson's just getting sick of D. Fish, and I think D. Fish really wasn't going to be the main coach, or you know, he wasn't going to be a mainstay in the NBA, at least in New York. I don't know if
well,
this is what
it's not that I don't think he, when Phil brought in Fish, I don't think it was like you're a placeholder. I think it really was, hey man, you're the only one I have to trust to run my triangle. And then after last year, after part of the season, Phil Jackson, he has been in Chicago, LA, two teams that their fan bases are like, if you start to like trail off, especially LA, you start to trail off, fans get upset. New York is like a million times worse. So to me, Phil was like, hey, you know what? I don't want to piss off these fans anymore. Fire D. Fish. We'll go out and get someone in the offseason.
I didn't mean, like, placeholder. I just more meant, I think people just kind of assumed that, like, you know, D. Fish wasn't going to be a star head coach. I got the feeling immediately when they hired him, like, really, they're going to hire D. Fish right after he retired? I don't think he's going to be anything good.
He's who Phil Jackson could trust.
Yeah, no, I think it was a smart move because it was like, all right, this guy has spent so many years in the triangle system. If anybody knows it as good as I do, he's got to. Mm-hmm. So Phil Jackson had that faith in him. And I think the problem really wasn't Derek Fisher running the triangle. It was more so with Derek Fisher handling the rest of the players out there. Mm-hmm. He never really got that separation of himself as not a player. He couldn't be a professional about it. He didn't really have a lot of the, I want to say, coaching tactics or anything outside of just knowledge of the game, but he didn't know how to implement it. He didn't know how to translate that down to his team. And I feel like Phil pulled the trigger at the right time because this is a team that has a lot of potential going forward. And if you wait until next year and look, maybe Derek Fisher has a winning record at this point next year, you can't pull the trigger then. Even if, again, there's these coaching deficiencies, it looks really bad on you to be like, oh, well, now he's winning, you're going to fire him. I mean,
I feel that even if, let's say it
well,
was like
Phil,
a...
Well, it's Phil, so you're not going to question it, but it's New York, so they're going to blow it
that's
up.
That's what I was going to say. If even, let's say, the Knicks somehow finished where they're one. They have a winning record by one game.
Yeah.
If Phil said, you know what, we're going to pull the trigger, I feel like New York fans would be like, you know what, this guy's garbage anyways. Let's get rid of him. I mean, when they drafted Porzingis, they booed him.
Oh, absolutely.
Now they loved him. Now they love Porzingis.
Well, yeah. I think it kind of might be like a David Blatt situation. Like, if they fired him, even with a winning record, then they'll be like, all right, well, he wasn't the guy coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't, you know, he wasn't really anything special.
No,
really,
but they hired him. He was like...
He was the guy when they hired him,
The thing with David Blatt, though, was he was hired pre-LeBron James. Then LeBron James came and changed everything. It wasn't like they drafted Porzingis and Fisher was like, well,
no.
Now what team? No, I feel like when Derek Fisher came in, it's like, okay, we're thinking about this kid.
Yeah, his answer was, you're going to win with Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
That's your job, is to find a way to get this team to win with Carmelo Anthony. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't motivate Carmelo. Carmelo's very lackluster play. And up until pretty much the start of this season, I'm taking the entire 2014-2015, he was totally just... not happy. He wasn't going to try. I mean, what, he sit out like a shit ton of games last year, too.
Well, and there was a reason he went. I mean,
well,
yeah,
reason.
Well, he wanted to be wined and dined, because honestly, I'd like to be wined and dined, too, by L.A., Chicago, New York. But maybe a little bit of that reason was, hey, let me see what a Chicago and L.A. have to offer, because, I, like you said, he sat out so many games last year. They don't have Fish.
Melo set out 42 games. He played 40 and started 40. He's already broken that, as he started 48 games this season already.
Exactly. So he seems to have gotten some more motivation this year, but again, it's just, if your job as Derek Fisher is to win with Carmelo, and for half of that first year you didn't have Carmelo, and when he was out there, he didn't give a flying fuck about you, you're not going to get far. So Derek Fisher did very little to win over that locker room. He obviously was missing a lot as a coach. A lot of his questionable timeout calls, or just refusal to call timeouts on long runs. It's one of the things that was really impressive about watching Golden State, was it was very controlled, very smart usage of their timeouts. I mean, if they got on a 6-point run the other way, not afraid to call that timeout. Steve Kerr, very sharp on that. And to that extent, Luke Walton took in the same fashion. Not quite as on top. Some of his like timeouts and then subs in and out of timeouts, not as hot. But again, it's that whole, there's so many little games going on as a head coach in the NBA, and Derek Fisher just doesn't have it yet. I'm not saying he won't ever, but he's still, you know, 2 years in as a head coach. He needs to get his ground. He needs to find his own way, kind of thing. He's not Phil Jackson. Phil, you can't mold him to be you.
Yeah,
that's basically what, you know, this taught us.
I think the main thing was, obviously, D. Fish had no coaching experience at all coming into this season. I mean, coming into his job. So I think that obviously hurt him. But you do bring up Luke Walton. Luke Walton, guy who spent a lot of time in the triangle. Guy who has proven that he can win. I mean, obviously, he's got the best team in the NBA, you know, playing for him. But he obviously proved that he can win and take a team and coach.
Because he has zero wins as a coach.
All right.
Those are all Steve Kerr wins.
Not technically speaking, like, we saw what was happening. I know that he's not going to get the win, and obviously Barack Obama was like, Luke Walton getting a ton of wins and no credit for it, and then kind of acting like he was salty because he kind of feels like Luke Walton. But anyways, I'm not trying to get in politics. I'm just trying to quote. But Luke Walton obviously played some time with Phil Jackson. Obviously has ties with Phil Jackson. He was under Phil Jackson in L.A. Is Luke Walton the obvious choice for the new New York Knicks job?
To me, no. He is not the obvious choice. And the reason being is, I feel there are two choices for this job. Number one, you go on the side that you just talked about. You take the guy, just like Derek Fisher was. You played with Phil Jackson. You played under Phil Jackson. You know the triangle. Well, apparently Derek Fisher was supposed to know how to run Phil's system. I'm not saying that Luke Walton's going to come in and fail, but it's the same situation as that. To me, the other option is you pick the only candidate out there that fits, just to me, the overall just theme of a New Yorker. A guy that's going to push his players to the limit, make them give it all he's got. Sometimes, could he play his players a little bit too much and get them fatigued? Yes. But it's either Luke Walton or Tom Thibodeau in my mind.
Interesting choice with Tom Thibodeau, because if I've ever seen a lazy-ass basketball player, his name is Carmelo Anthony. There's a second reason, other than money, Carmelo did not come to Chicago. It's because of the fear of Tom Thibodeau.
Maybe that's the kind of coach, though, Melo needs. One that's
doesn't need it, and there's definitely benefit to be had, but will he play for him? That, I mean, again,
it's
the
one
part diva.
To me,
and we saw
he can
Melo
shut it down
out,
if he wants to.
To me, then that's where, if that happened, like, and anything can happen at this point. They're not going to make a decision until after the season. That's right. What Phil Jackson has said. But
yeah, it doesn't make sense to.
I'm just leaning, like, I look at Thibodeau. Did I like Thibodeau when he was here? Yes, I did. Here being Chicago where we are. And I just be like, man, you know what? That New York, just that stereotypical just attitude of a New Yorker. That's what Tom
Thibodeau
brings.
He's an asshole.
Bring.
He fits perfectly.
And
he's
and also you get to say screw you Boston fans because he started in Boston as a Doc River assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a screw you to Boston, though? I think he's just, just getting a job.
But
they found a pretty good guy in Brad Stevens to replace him.
He's a solid choice.
I don't think Boston's going to be too mad there.
No, I mean, I think you got to take into account also Luke Walton's time, you know, well playing.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically in the corner. He might as well have been on the bench being an assistant coach those last couple of years.
Kobe, I'm open. Nope, Kobe, you got it. Good swish.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is a man who has many years on the bench. Not in a great way, but you know he's very comfortable with the coaching.
You tried on that joke. You tried.
I tried. I got nothing back.
Bench as a player and as a coach, and when he was actually winning games, air quotes, he wasn't winning games, air quotes.
Yeah. No, I think Thibodeau would be great. Again, though, one of the problems that he's going to run into, similar to Tyronn Lue, where Tyronn Lue wants to take that Cavaliers team and really get them running. He wants that up tempo. He needs them to run because that's what he sees winning across the league. And that's not a team that is conditioned for it. And that's why I'm happy Phil was like, you know what? I'm going to do it next year, like off season, because you can't do a mid-year change in personalities from Derek Fisher to somebody like Tom Thibodeau and expect to see good results. All you're going to see is players just absolutely gassed out there. So I think it's a smart move by Phil Dett. I would like to agree with you. Thibodeau would be a great choice for them. But I think Luke Walton just has anybody eating out of the palm of his hand
right now.
It's his choice.
Either way. You can go with either one. You're not making a bad choice.
I'm going to throw this out there. Kurt Rambis is the interim head coach now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he take over this team, bring him to the NBA Finals or NBA playoffs? Not the finals.
He's getting ahead
NBA
of himself
playoffs.
There.
Does Kurt Rambis stay? Because he obviously he spent time in L.A. as an assistant since 94. He was, from 94 to 99, he was an assistant. Then 99, he was the head coach, and then he came back. 2001 to 2004 was an assistant. Then 2005 to 2009, he was an assistant. So, I mean, he's proven that he's been with Phil Jackson throughout, like, Phil's career in L.A. He's been a coach before with the Timberwolves. He went back to L.A. in 2013, 2014 as an assistant. Look, does he get the chance?
I feel like...
Or do they want that big ticket
he's
name?
Kind of a lifer as an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's found his groove. He knows his level of competence, responsibility. And he's got this experience to hopefully... I mean, I think they were hoping that somebody as experienced as him could kind of work with the younger head coach, Derek Fisher, to kind of guide him in the right direction, help him bring this team together. Obviously didn't help out a ton, or didn't work out with that combo this time. But that's not to say that, you know, now all of a sudden he's going to see this as his chance to break out and go take over head coaching job somewhere else. I'm sorry, there's a lot of good head coaches that are going to be available in this offseason. And I would not put my money on Kurt Rambis getting one of those jobs.
I lean towards the no as well, only because, I mean, he had the one kind of maybe a half because it says 99 he was the assistant and then went to the head coach.
He was a fill-in. Yeah, he was an interim.
And
I think
his only time as a real head coach with the Timberwolves where he didn't really do much. But at the same time, you can look at that and say, Ricky, it's the Timberwolves. Let's be honest here.
So my Kurt Rambis idea didn't work. It flopped. All right, but let's look at the available head coaches or head coaches that or assistant head coaches that we do think will be available. We got Thibodeau. We got Luke Walton. We got Jeff Hornacek, the two-time three-point champion.
Damn right.
D. Fish, which obviously isn't going to be brought back. I mean, when I heard this move that they were
fired.
David Blatt. I forgot about one. David
Big
Blatt.
Dog. Yep.
When I first heard this move that, you know, Phil Jackson was firing Derek Fisher.
You're missing one, too. Lionel Hollins, he's out there.
Yeah, there's a reason I missed him.
He got fired by the Nets. He's out there, though.
There's a reason I missed him.
Ricky, you're also available to coach in the NBA.
I am.
If you guys, I have a resume.
My number is 555-247.
Former cashier at a local grocery store. I got some DJ. I've called a couple women's basketball games. I got my experience.
I think I've watched.
I think the Nets would look that up.
I have the same coaching experience as Derek Fisher did when he got the job.
There you go.
We obviously see that the head coach is available. Which one is most likely? Is it Luke Walton? I mean, when I first heard the news, I thought Phil Jackson was just going to step in. I thought he was going to pull Pat Riley.
Oh, no, man.
I would love to see it.
I would love to see it, but I don't think he's going to do it.
No, he is obviously not, and he said there's no way.
I don't think Phil gives enough of a fuck to show up to every single game. Like, I'm sorry. The man is... We always call him, like, the Zen Meister, the Zen Master, all this kind of shit. Dude just gets high. Let's be honest. He's a very smart coach. Well,
when you just said, like, he'll come in, all I could think of is... it was the one TNT segment with Shaq when he's on the couch. He's like, Phil always coming in with this stuff that smell. He said it was like feng shui stuff. It just smelled like weed.
Phil gets stoned. Phil's
not going to show up to every game. He's there for a lot of them, and that's what matters. But him on the court is a different presence.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's totally different. But no, him on the court is a different presence. Like, I remember back in the day, like on the Bulls and on the Lakers, imposing presence, mm-hmm. always had that calm about him. He always was the smartest guy on the floor, and you knew it just by looking at him, the way he handled his team. So, I mean, would I love to see it again? Yeah, but he's too old. He's done. He wants to plan this team from a higher point.
He was very similar to Pop is what I was just going to throw.
Plus, when he coached those two teams, kind of like Pop, you could say as well. When he was on the Bulls, he kind of had this player called Michael Jordan.
I mean, that helps.
And with the Lakers, he kind of had this player called the Black Mamba.
But let's put it this way. I mean...
Pop has Tim Duncan, by the way.
Yeah.
And David Robinson.
Yeah.
And
the Admiral.
Yeah. And Tony Parker and Manny Ginobili. And you also forgot Shaq and Scottie Pippen, too.
Well, okay. I'm talking about the main people I remember from those teams.
So
the leaders.
What you're saying is Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis do not equal Michael Jordan?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Carmelo Anthony great players doesn't even come near that.
You know, it helps to have a great player for a great coach, but look at the difference when you have a great player without a great coach like LeBron James.
Rewind the podcast to, I don't know, a few minutes ago when Dave talked about Melo being lazy.
Yeah.
To me, that doesn't scream a player that you want as a leader of the team. And we're not getting into that discussion because I know...
Maybe we will.
Well, we've compared it to like football with Jay Cutler. That's why people don't like Jay Cutler because that's what he seems.
Gives off a perception, but Melo actually lives that.
Yeah, Melo actually does live it. And to me, that's the reason why the only two choices in my mind are Walton and Thibodeau. Blatt may be a third, but Blatt's more of a, okay, we're going to have a younger team, so let's try to do what the Cavs tried to do. But Thibodeau's going to come in, and the reason why I pick him over Walton is he's going to come in, light a fire under these guys in a way that the typical New York fan is going to get behind it because they are going to like how much he pushes this team. Because New York fans don't give a shit. They just want to win.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won in a long time.
And they just want to win.
Just win, baby.
The one thing I do want to throw out here is when DeFish was hired, same year that Steve Kerr was hired, guy who has been in the triangle offense, you know, a guy who is now succeeding, maybe probably two different teams there. You know,
Steve Kerr had that background experience on the Spurs.
Well, I was going to say also, do you think that he, right before he was hired by the Warriors, he was in the Suns front office?
He was out of it. He left in
2010. Well, yeah, but do you think that having that experience of a year or two in a front office situation helps a coach rather than right after playing, I'm going to go right into coaching?
Well, possibly, but you could also think like, you know, Derek Fisher was with Phil Jackson for, 10 plus years. You know, Steve Kerr was with Phil Jackson for 5 years, and then he was with Pop for, I believe, 3 years, 4 years. So he's obviously been around coaches. So, I mean, I think it's similar there. And he was more of just a GM, so it wasn't really he had coaching experience. He probably learned more about back office, front office, and all that stuff about that. But, I mean, do you think the Knicks are kicking themselves for not maybe getting Steve Kerr?
No, they're not even thinking about that because that's something that, I mean... Teams, every single team across the league, every single time, you drive yourself crazy if you think about stuff like that. It's kind of like the news that came out this past week. Oh, do you think the Cavs or the Lakers are kicking themselves that they didn't make the Kobe LeBron trade back in 2007?
Which would have got vetoed to shit.
You can't think about that stuff because at the end of the day, it's a choice you made, and now you got to move on from it. Because if Steve Kerr came into New York, who says he would be doing the same thing he did in Golden State?
Well,
because guess
I would
who's
say
not
that.
There? Guess who's not there? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. It's a total different team.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you got Carmelo, you got Bargnani, you got Calderon, and...
That's a big three right there.
Yeah. Oh, I don't forget, Amari was still there when his back wasn't given out. JR was still there when he wanted to play.
And Shumpert then.
Yeah, Shumpert the first year.
So you're saying you don't want a big three of Carmelo Anthony, the number one pick in the 2007 draft, Andrea Bargnani, and Jose Calderon?
I'm just saying,
some thought, though, that team was going to the playoffs and doing business.
Who's to say that they would have the same success? We don't know, and you can't think about it because it didn't happen.
I was just putting it out there.
No, I know.
Don't get pissed at me. We're going to move into trade deadline talk now. Does Melo get traded? Let's just jump in right now. Do you think Melo gets traded?
No.
Because of money.
Because of money.
Money and contract length. It's not like he's at the end of it. He just signed a deal a year ago. So, I mean, no team is going to want that money. It's all about expiring contracts to me. That's who's getting moved.
So then what expiring contract will get moved?
Dwight,
he's the big one. He's the big name. Where
he's not technically expiring. He could.
He's a player option.
When people say, "Oh, Dwight's probably going to opt out," let's be honest, he's going to opt out.
What if he lands on a good team? What if he finds his mojo?
I think he still opts out.
If him and Pat Riley, you know, just find a groove going down there in Miami?
So you're saying he's getting traded?
I'm just saying, what if
Whiteside's also an expiring contract? So
think about it. Mm-hmm.
How about that? Let's throw this out.
Will you help me? We help you.
Let's throw this out here. Dwight, give me the three teams that he'll go to. Three possible teams that he'll go to. Because, you know, he's going to be an expiring contract. He said that, you know, he's not going to stay with the Rockets if he doesn't move this year. So give me the three teams that, you know, the Rockets will try to make a deal with to move Dwight, if they even move Dwight. Because we've seen that the Rockets said, like, we're not sure if we're moving Dwight, but they've also contacted all 30 teams about Dwight's contract.
Yeah, we're getting some mixed messages out of their front office.
Well, and the big name that comes to just my head is the Celtics, only because I know we talked about they have a ton of bigs, but they have the assets that Houston wants to work with. Well, it's either them or Miami.
They have young bigs that can be moved, and, you know, young bigs that aren't crucial to their point. And you think you bring in Dwight Howard that they can be moved. So you're saying Celtics, Miami. Is there any third team, dark team that you want to throw in there?
Just because I want to throw it out there, because I saw a headline for it, and this trade's not going to happen. I just want to throw it out there.
Brilliant.
Goes to play with Stan Van and Detroit.
So you're going to put the two worst free throw shooters in the league in the same team?
Hack
of Dwight and hack of Drummond on the same team.
You remember that 4-hour playoff game because of free throws?
Oh, this is going 8.
Like the unwatchable Houston playoff game? I turned it off 4 different times and it still wasn't over. There's no way that happens, but man, would that be fun to watch.
All right, then what's your three teams for Dwight?
I'm with you on two of them. I mean, I think the Celtics, because A, they've got the pieces. Miami, because Whiteside's contract versus Dwight's contract, they're obviously going to flip. And look, in Dwight, you get a very experienced player who knows what it takes to go to the playoffs. He's carried a team to the finals on his own back. And this is a team that, if they get on a roll, maybe they could knock out, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers in 7. There's a chance. I'm not saying that it'll happen every time, but look, Dwight on that team makes them better, period. Whiteside brings a ferocity on his defensive end. He loves to block everything that comes near that rim. But again, he's young, he's aggressive, and it's going to lead to costly fouls. He's gotten a couple of flagrants as of recently, and he just needs more control to his game. Offensively, Dwight's going to absolutely give you an entire another level than Whiteside, but I think this way both teams win because at the end of the day, Dwight may or may not re-sign. Whiteside is going to be a free agent, so Houston can move forward and figure out. I think they're at a point where they want to rebuild that team around Harden legitimately, not this piecemeal shit partway through Harden's contract. It's okay, Harden's 25. He's about to come into his prime. Let's make sure that he's set up to run as deep in the playoffs as possible. I think it's perfect timing for it.
Now, we bring up that Dwight's going to get moved. But we also are not bringing up Dwight's personality. We've seen, you know, he wanted out of Orlando. He went to L.A., was not happy, did not mesh at all, you know, so they needed to trade him. And then in Houston, it's kind of like iffy and, you know, it's like kind of like, all right, you know, him and Harden get along, then they can't stand each other, then they get along, then they can't stand each other, then they go deep in the playoffs, and then all this stuff happens. And they start off the season horribly, and then it's just a rolling ball. Mikhail gets fired. And just this team hasn't been returning to form of last year. So Dwight's personality get traded? I mean, put into this, because obviously we see the contract. You know, he's an expiring slash player contract,
right?
I mean, do people avoid him because of his personality? Would you avoid him for his personality?
No, I think if I need a big, and to me, if I'm looking just to, like, unless I'm like a team where it's like the Clippers or the Cavaliers. If I'm a team that's like, okay, we're just needing that one extra, like Golden State, maybe if they want to add one piece. I think of the Cavs more like that. Like, maybe let's add one three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take in the what kind of a player he is. But with this one, it's I'm probably going to get him, use him for this year, and he's going to opt out, so it won't matter to me anyways.
I don't know. In 1 year, you can do a lot of damage. Think about the damage he did in L.A. in his first year. I mean, the man had Kobe bitching him out practice after practice. Mm-hmm. He's like, nope, don't give a fuck.
But is that
I'm here to be an entertainer. I'm in L.A. I'm going to live my life.
And I mean, looking back at it, was that kind of, not Dwight, but just the overall timeline, was that the beginning of the decline for the Lakers of what we see to where they are now, where it's like bottom of the NBA?
They followed their path. It was Kobe plus a big. And it worked for them in the past. Bynum, obviously, his body gave out on him before that could have come to fruition. But it still lined up with, you know, exactly what they needed to do. They had the right pieces. Dwight just didn't want it. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. And if Dwight's not going to want it, the impact of having your, you know, multi-million dollar big just absolutely not care, be nonchalant in practice, not give it his all, that has rippling effects across the rest of the team, because they see that and go, well, if he's not going to fucking try, why would I? Like, what's the difference, you know?
And you're bringing it into a playoff team. So, I mean, obviously you want your team to mesh and be, you know, cohesive. Cohesive. So, I mean, you don't want to bring in Dwight and just have it throw off your whole team. Saying,
is he like the T.O. equivalent in the NBA?
That's a good T.O., yeah.
And I think that's a perfect explanation for Dwight.
So who's his quarterback?
It's my quarterback.
James Harden is not. I'm going to throw out one trade that I'm looking at an article right now from HoopsHabit.com on the FanSided Network. Their number one landing spot for Dwight. And when I saw it, I was kind of like, what the fuck is this? The Clippers, in this mutually beneficial trade scenario, the Clippers and Houston Rockets would execute a Dwight Howard for DeAndre Jordan trade. And I'm like, why would you do this?
That's an awful trade.
That's
a terrible trade.
The Mavericks, okay, you wanted DeAndre Jordan in the offseason. You could make a trade for Dwight and just have him switch Texas teams. They had Boston on this list. Cool. A team we already mentioned. Miami, a team we already mentioned. Atlanta, if they want to do a Horford Howard swap, and then they get to this at the top. We get to the Clippers, and this was a total, like, I'm like, why would you even want to do this if you're L.A.?
So why'd you throw it? That's a horrible trade.
Threw it out there just to
talk
about it.
Looking at that trade, you get Dwight, who's an aging veteran who has not been himself since, you know, 2010, and then you have DeAndre, who is a monster on the boards. I mean, he's just big, so that's how he scores on offense, and he fits well with the Clippers, and the Clippers have been winning, so why, you know, bring in DeAndre, or get out DeAndre when you have all this chemistry, and then you throw in Dwight, who's obviously has personality issues, and you obviously, you know, he's on the decline, so I don't know about that.
To be fair, numbers this year are comparable. Dwight's putting up 14.6 and 12. DeAndre's doing 12 and 14.
And here's the one thing they put. For Houston, the quote is, for Houston, acquiring Jordan would mean landing a player similar to James Harden in age and experience. That duo could grow together without the pressure of appeasing an 8-time All-Star who commands a high number of touches offensively.
Okay, yeah, but that seems like a win, just a complete, you know, not, it just seems like a complete, like, win for the Rockets, and you get nothing, and the Clippers just completely get destroyed in that trade. I mean, looking at Dwight's numbers, yeah, 14...
He's quietly having an okay year.
14, 12, and then one block. But I think that's the one thing that DeAndre brings. He's younger.
A block and a half up on him.
And he's better defensively. I mean,
and he's more athletic.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can run the floor and accept, he's used to the lob city kind of shit.
Yeah, he's younger too. So, I mean, he's obviously got, you know, he's got youth. He's got a okay personality. I mean, we saw that he wasn't, you guys had a previous podcast where it was, is DeAndre Jordan immature?
Yeah.
We're obviously, you know,
he's on a different level.
Yeah. I mean, Dwight Howard just seems like, you know, kind of like the prima donna that we said about Carmelo Anthony, where DeAndre just seems confused, kind
of. On the other side of the trade, they said for L.A., Howard would be less of a liability in the hack-a-shack situations, which I'm kind of like, and would provide something it desperately needs, postseason experience beyond the second round.
I don't think you can go beyond the second round. Like, are we baseball stats now? Most hits on a Thursday after 3 p.m.? Like, yeah, let's just go ahead and do that.
I don't know.
What's he like when it's 50 degrees out on a Sunday in Los Angeles?
With a slight mist.
Okay. In this situation, though.
With a hat on backwards.
I will defend that. Playoff experience is a good thing, especially when you get
Yeah, but also
deeper.
Maturity is also
yeah,
a big,
and I mean with Dwight Howard,
that.
The big thing is which Dwight are you going to get? And to me, the thing with this is yes, postseason experience is huge, but when did he have that experience? Earlier in his career when he was with Orlando.
But I would see I would rather have, and plus he had it last year with Houston. Houston got to the Western Conference Finals.
Well,
but I would rather have DeAndre Jordan with youth and, you know, probably more, he's obviously more athletic, and have Doc Rivers and then, you know, Dwight Howard, who's an aging vet, who's, I mean, you can make the thing that he has more playoff experience, but, you know, he's more immature, he's older, he's aging, and you're still going to get Doc Rivers there, but I mean, it's just, I don't, that trade's just, it seems horrible for the Clippers. And you're ruining what you've been great with out Blake Griffin, which is very weird.
Let me throw this out there that I know Kobe couldn't do it in L.A. Is Chris Paul the kind of veteran to just set, if the trade happened, set Dwight on a straight path?
I mean,
keep him in line.
See, I think Dwight
him
needs...
and the truth on that team, two leaders, two high stars.
But they had
on
Steve Nash,
team.
They had Kobe when they brought in Dwight. So I mean, you
I
could
was
also
say
that
you had a lot of very veteran savvy players.
That was,
who
they were kind of like the Yankees. They were kind of like the Yankees of the NBA, where they had just a ton of veterans, and you know they couldn't even wrangle in Dwight Howard. So I don't. I personally think that's a horrible trade. Just to be completely honest, I think that's a horrible trade for the Clippers, and you're ruining this thing where you lose Blake Griffin, but you weirdly become a better team. Well, bring up Blake Griffin now.
Well, that's not going to be the trade. And I was thinking in my head, oh, well, what about Dwight for Blake? And then in my head,
that's,
I'm like, you're not going to.
Awful deal.
That's somehow worse.
Wait, I said, you're not going to do that because you don't want. It's the only way you even make that trade happen is Dwight for DeAndre. You can't have DeAndre and Dwight on the same
completely
team.
Destroyed.
Yeah, and plus you need picks. Like, you need picks even on that DeAndre trade. Like, that's just, that's terrible.
That's trade rate.
That's terrible.
Okay, Charles.
That's terrible. All right. But you
bring, you
know,
the weird thing, though, with Dwight, though? Last point on him.
Go on.
His early run in the playoffs on that 09 Magic team, he was like, what? It's weird that there was no veteran savvy on that team.
Turkle.
Hedo.
I mean, Jameer Nelson wasn't really that old now, and he's old now.
Rashad
Lewis.
That's the thing. I mean, you had Rashad Lewis. You had...
Turkoglu.
You had Tyronn Lue.
Well, this was before...
You had Ty Lue
was on that team.
This was before Dwight got ring hungry,
this was when...
Say.
I mean, do you remember how jacked he was? The game plan was... Three-pointers out there, Dwight under
Dwight
the rim, and about 15 feet of empty between.
It's honestly what the Clippers have kind of turned into. It's Which DeAndre in the middle, he's huge. All right, that works. All right, DeAndre, just pass it out when you're in trouble.
You got on the outside, J.J. Redick, same. He was on that Magic team. And instead, you got Chris Paul out at the three, much improved.
Yeah, and plus, he's better than Jameer Nelson, just playmaking.
Flat
Chris Paul's pretty good. Jameer Nelson, I mean, maybe best
so
point guard of all time
that,
is
that, that team, you know, didn't have that, and that's when Dwight really excelled. So the question is, does Dwight need to be that one man on a team where he is the star, not second fiddle to somebody else, someone like Kobe, someone like James Harden, someone
maybe
like Chris Paul?
I didn't give my thing. I see your point with the Chris Paul thing, but I think Chris Paul would be more of the star than Dwight because he's younger
Need to be that number one? Well,
here's
where
the thing,
where it
though.
Goes.
Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this out there.
Of course,
I think Chris Paul's the kind of player where it's like, okay, Dwight, I'll let you think whatever you want, we all know that it's like, as long as with Chris Paul, it's as long as we're winning games. With Kobe, it's like, no. This is my team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the battle had, where Chris Paul would just be like, whatever, as long as we're winning games, I'm happy.
Well, final thoughts on Dwight Howard. You say that he should be the star.
That's why I think That's why I think the Celtics make the most sense. Is a very young team young around talent. Him.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this up.
I
didn't give him my team. I agree with the Heat, and I agree with the Celtics. I don't know if he will work well with D-Wade or Bosch, but they obviously have seen that they could put away personality sides and, you know, make LeBron the key guy. If you just sub in Dwight, obviously you're going to get bigger there. You got the Celtics, you got the Heat, Orlando. Very young team.
They need
a star. Dwight's been the star. He's familiar with Orlando. Might not hit, Scott Skiles might not be the coach to wrangle in.
Try saying that three times.
Scott Skiles. Wrangle in Dwight Howard, but, you know, Dwight's going to be the star. Dwight's been on that team. Young team. You got Channing Frye even to space out the floor there. Kind of like that Hidu player, a little bit bigger.
That would be an interesting thing, actually. I'm looking at that roster right now, and yeah. You might be on something.
Maybe you should call me up, Phil Jackson. Maybe I could be your new head coach. pretty good with numbers. I was a cashier before. But anyway, gonna move away from my glory days at the grocery store, and we're gonna go over to a player that you think is gonna be moved. Because we talked about Blake Griffin before. We talked about Boogie Cousins before. Who's a guy that we haven't mentioned that you think is gonna get traded? We'll go to Jay first, because we usually go to the left because I'm a lefty. We usually go to Ricky.
Dave's
on my right. Let's give it to Dave. Who's your guy going?
My guy is Jeff Green, because I want this Toronto Raptors team to take the initiative, the realization that this could be their 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
This could be that window, and I don't want them to miss it. What do they have in that forward role? They got Luis Scola. And
I just love how that
Pat Patterson.
Luis Scola rolls off with a laugh.
Luis Scola. I mean, come on. So Luis Scola and Pat Patterson. And my trade would be Jeff Green, Pat Patterson. Contracts work out. Jeff Green's a 1 year deal. He is technically a small forward. He can play that four though. Size is exactly the same as Patterson, who plays that four. The only difference is Jeff Green more comfortable from the outside shooting.
So that's your trade straight up.
Straight up, Jeff Green, Patterson.
I would see that the Raptors the Thunder just kind of get screwed there, because I mean Patterson isn't the same quality as Jeff Green.
Thunder,
the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies.
I'm sorry, he used to be on the Thunder. My bad about that.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I think that this is just something that they would soak. Like, I'm sorry, the entire game for Memphis is that download game. So look, you want more download, there you go.
But is Patterson really a download guy? Is he strictly
more so than Jeff Green?
Is he?
Yeah.
How many threes are Jeff Green taking? I mean, he's obviously moving outside the 3-point line area.
Jeff Green, because
Patterson shoots about four a game.
Okay.
Four threes a game. So obviously, I feel like they're similar players. The guy I think of, if you're saying stretch four, who's on a block, you got Orlando, who's an aging team, and I would say maybe Channing Frye.
Could be interesting, yeah.
Because Channing Frye, he's a power forward at heart. Kid can shoot. He's not a kid anymore. He's like 32. But you know, he can shoot. He's shown that he can shoot. I mean, when he gets started, he's getting 17 minutes a game. He shoots 39% from the field. But when he's getting starting minutes, like in Phoenix, his last year in Phoenix, he shot 37% from three-point land, 11 points per game in 28 minutes. So I feel like Channing Frye could still add to a team there.
That definitely makes sense. I just think Toronto needs to make that move. And look, I'll take Jeff Green. I'll take Channing Frye. I will take anybody to replace that four spot on this team so they can push over that edge and just bitch slap the Cavs when they've got a chance. Because
bitch slap the Cavs.
Well, look, this is your one chance, because think about it. You've got DeRozan.
You're bringing up some bad memories.
You've got the Cavs,
me,
who are in crisis right now. You know, Tyronn Lue, head coach.
Dave brought up, this could be your 1 year. And all that's going through my mind right now is when LeBron was in Miami and our Chicago Bulls had that 1 year to get past them. It's all that's going through my head right now.
One last player I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah.
Bucks have Jabari Parker. He's a power forward, but he can also kind of be a stretch player there. You know, stretch out the floor. He could drive a little bit. Jabari kind of having a down season. Bucks might not be faithful to him because he did have that injury. The trade would be Jabari Parker for Patterson and Anthony Bennett, but obviously trades would be going because, you know, Jabari Parker is still such a young player. So, I mean, the Toronto would be giving
up. Yeah, I think you'd have to drop a pick. Yeah, but at this point, you go all in.
Because, I mean, you got Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll can guard LeBron James.
And that's what he's known for, yeah.
And if there's any guy who's going to be guarding LeBron James and he could do it effectively, it's probably Damari Carroll. He's probably only, like, probably five guys in the NBA can probably.
Pretty much.
Could probably, you know, defend LeBron James. Luol Deng's still probably one of them.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler is your father. Kyle Lowry, I mean, that's a pretty even matchup there with him and Kyrie. And then if you add, I mean, Channing Frye is different than Kevin Love. Obviously, you know, Kevin Love's a better player there. But Valanciunas is better than any big that, any, like, you know, center position, any center that, you
pseudo
know,
center that they're using.
Yeah, center
their
that
combo.
Yeah, center that the Cavs have. So I could see the whole Jabari Parker thing if they want to give up trades.
Yeah, that would break the bank for Toronto. But I mean, I think that would also make it like, look, we understand our situation. And at this point, I don't know if they do. Mm-hmm. I feel like they need to pull the trigger, make it happen this year. I mean, I understand it's not ideal because in the West, you've got these monsters coming out. But
yeah,
look, this is your year for the East. Don't know when it'll happen again.
It may never happen again.
Ricky, sure. who's your guy that's going to be
my there? Okay, my main guy is, we talked about him before, this may be me copping out, but Dwight Howard. Because to me, I feel like he's got to go. He needs a change of scenery. Here's a trade that I got worked out. And
let's hear this
if
goal.
It necessarily...
I'm gonna put a disclaimer here.
A disclaimer.
Because Ricky loves the trade machine, but Ricky is not good at the trade machine. So
I mean,
let's
the numbers
what
add
got
up.
For us.
That's
yeah,
the key.
Ricky just likes seeing the green bar that says, this trade is successful.
It's like playing a game, I feel like.
Four trades on.
I feel like I won.
Four trades are on.
But here's the trade I've got. The Celtics get one player, that's Dwight. In order to get Dwight, they give up David Lee.
Makes
a
sense.
$15 million, 1 year contract. They give up Bradley, $7.7 million, 3 years, and Kelly Olynyk, $2.12 million. So the Rockets get Lee, Bradley, and Olynyk for Dwight.
I can see that because
maybe you like throw some picks the Rockets' way.
Bradley's,
maybe some net picks.
Bradley's kind of similar to Trevor Ariza, but maybe a little. You know, he's smaller, he's younger, and
you
probably
get,
better defensively.
You get two bigs. The Celtics get to clean out some of the bigs. They give up two bigs for one.
And Olynyk's still young, so Olynyk maybe develop.
He's got potential,
but. I could see that maybe. Are you throwing in picks there as well?
It would have to be like
would,
one pick,
you'd
but I don't
to,
think they'd give up the Nets
you'd
pick
have
because
to give
that's
up,
so high.
Oh, yeah, they're not giving up the Nets pick
because
they have like
give
four
up
picks.
Yeah. Celtics would have to give picks to the Rockets.
So basically, they could get back maybe a second from the Rockets if they give up a first from one of their pool.
One of their own, their big pool. Here's another. I got a 2A kind of one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same
no, I'm
team
honestly surprised that one actually made, like,
yeah,
we didn't
is,
throw
this
you
is,
out of here.
You guys didn't go.
Good job, Rick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get
this
better.
Is one where it's a different big. It's a big that I would love to see get traded before Dwight. Same team, though, the Boston Celtics. The Celtics get in this trade Boogie Cousins.
I don't know.
Boogie Cousins, Darren Collison, and Omer Caspi for David Lee and Bradley.
No.
Maybe throw Celtics would have to.
The Celtics are giving up that Nets pick then because
you get,
Cousins is way
Cousins
more.
Cousins is worth a first and.
Yeah, you'd probably even maybe take out Caspi in that one.
Or you can take out Collison, Caspi, and Bradley and just try to do Boogie, D-Lee, and a pick. Like Celtics
you
would give up
a
pick.
Couple picks.
Yeah.
Because.
But you could do a D-Lee for Boogie trade. And the only reason I'd like to see that done is I would like the Kings to say, you know what, we're going to stay with George Karl and we're going to trade Boogie. And I just want to see Boogie in a Celtics green.
We'll get into
I think it's interesting, though. I mean, these big focus to the Celtics, and yet the Celtics' problem is too many bigs.
But
it's interesting.
No, they have
they've
too many
got
big,
too many bigs that it's like that, they need one main big.
They have too many
they need
bigs
one
that,
main.
And none of them are true quality.
Right.
I mean, Jared Seliger is probably the best big, and he's been doing. You know, he's obviously grown.
Kelly Olynyk knows how to break arms.
He knows how to break arms. Kind of, yeah. I mean, but I feel like they need a quality big, and they're still in it. They're kind of in that Toronto where if you want to compete, you got to make a move. And you know,
I wouldn't put them as close as Toronto, but I mean, they're
well. Toronto, you're talking.
You
about
can make
the
argument
finals.
That they are the third best team in the East, though. I mean, they're currently in that
spot. It's sad,
spot.
But true.
they're currently in that spot, and Isaiah Thomas could be a player that
Thomas is playing out of his mind.
He could just completely, you know, not wreck that team, but the Cavs. But he could cause some havoc in the Cavs, and then especially if you add a big man like Dwight, and he's like the main go-to guy, where we've been saying like he needs that spot. Then maybe it could be that.
That could be interesting.
I'm gonna throw out my trade before we go back to that George Karl thing. My trade is kind of out there, and I don't know if it's gonna work. But Pistons, they have a guy named Andre Drummond who's pretty damn good.
Nope.
Okay, you haven't even heard me.
You
said Drummond right away.
What was your first Dwight Howard trade
the Kings? Just go on. Yeah,
Dwight's
actually going to be traded.
Well, we don't know that.
Drummond, you're staying on the Pistons. But
are
we?
Okay, Drummond. Easy.
Go on.
Pistons are currently in the ninth spot. The Heat are currently in the fifth spot, and they currently have the worst scoring offense. Andre Drummond goes to the Heat with Anthony Tolliver and Damian Lillard. Those two are just complete cap moves because they are garbage. And the Pistons get Luol Deng, cap again, and Hassan Whiteside.
It's interesting because Deng still can probably play. It's not awful. He's no longer the man he used to be.
And he's gone after the year if they don't even want him.
Exactly. Whiteside, we've already covered him. Young, aggressive, very defensive-minded. It's interesting.
And you got Brandon Jennings, who could probably take over the scoring because he wants to.
Yeah.
You got Stanley Johnson, who can emerge. You have, on the Pistons, you have Reggie Jackson, who, again, is a scorer, just like Brandon Jennings. And you don't know, and this is really depending on if the Pistons are going in and Drummond just comes up to them and he's like, I'm not signing with you, trade me. That's really the only thing is seeing if the Pistons are like, we can't keep Drummond, let's try to get something for him, and we'll try to get Whiteside and sign him and give him a boatload of money. But that's the only way I can see that happening. I don't think Pistons are just going to trade.
That'd be interesting where it's, I don't want to say a win-win, but it's close.
I mean,
forget, though, who's the head coach of the Pistons?
Stan Van.
What does Stan Van need?
Okay.
That's the one thing he needs.
A big that can't shoot free throws.
Is a big. And that's, I just
Whiteside
don't see.
Whiteside is 7 feet tall and 265 pounds, so he's pretty big.
I would say, if I'm Stan Van, I'm saying I'm going to keep Drummond.
Drummond's a better player at this point.
Yeah, Drummond's going to say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. Unless I'm proven wrong, which may be, but I don't see it.
He might just want to go to greener pastures, might want to get a bigger contract. Because his contract's up after this year. I mean, very similar. Whiteside's actually older, but Whiteside's 26. But, you know, Drummond's been in the league longer because, you know, actually they're similar years. But Whiteside wasn't a high draft pick coming out.
Yeah.
He was second round in 2010. Drummond was a first round pick in the top 10. So, I mean, and you obviously I'm saying picks, too. I mean, Heat are going to give up picks to get Drummond. But Drummond provides scoring that the Heat desperately need. Whiteside could be a former, a future piece that costs a little less than Drummond will cost in this offseason. And again, it's dependent on if Drummond just comes out of nowhere and just says, I want to be traded.
Yeah.
That's really what I'm saying.
See, I think this is throwing too much of
what if
to it.
But you know the common theme here?
What if Drummond wants to leave?
It's the East.
Yeah.
It's how do you win the East? Because let's be honest, the West is wrapped up between three teams. And at this point, and minor the Thunder tweaks may or may not even help you.
Thunder are even like fringe there too. We don't know if the Thunder are really going to compete, and they probably need to make a move too. But that's probably more of like a wing player that they can use.
You know who's the one West team that needs to make a move, like outside of the top three, the Clippers. The reason why I say that is the roster that they have right now. They're not going to compete with the Spurs or the Warriors. Well, we talked about earlier, is it a Dwight? Probably not, but they need something probably more on the level of Dave's Raptor-Grizzly kind of a trade.
They need
to do something. Maybe moving Lance Stephenson for somebody you're going to effing use.
I think you need six man if you're going to be the Clippers, because you have Crawford, and Crawford usually comes off the bench.
You need to find some way to compete in the playoffs. I mean, you need to upgrade Lance Stephenson.
You need to trade him or use him. You need to upgrade that small forward spot because Paul Pierce isn't going to do it. Paul Pierce is great off the bench. Paul Pierce, I mean, he's obviously a great veteran presence, but he's not a starting small forward.
And I mean, I do agree with you, Dave. Use Lance Stephenson, but if you ain't going to use him, just effing get rid of him.
But again,
find someone you are going to use.
They're playing him 16 minutes a game, and he's only averaging 4.7 points per game and 2.5 rebounds and an assist and a half a game. So, I mean, is Lance Stephenson even a person that, if you put him in the starting lineup, that he's really going to affect the game too much?
In his last 10, though, I mean, he's playing 16, putting down 8 a game. three rebounds. It's trending upwards. That's all I'm saying. It's his use is going up.
But what have we really seen from Lance Stephenson? His ceiling was that 2013-2014 season in Indiana, where he had 35 minutes per game, shot 35% from three-point land, and only had 13 points per game. 13, 14
points
per
game. I think his game translates to more than stats.
Yeah, all right. I mean, he could be more of he's kind of a pest on defense.
Just...
But we're moving away from a little wind, a little blow action. We're going to Jorge Carl, as Dave just lovingly called him. Sacramento Kings, we're going to fire George Carl. Then George Carl met with Vivek Ranadive, and they're like, no, we're not going to fire you. We're going to wait. And then...
We're not going to fire you today.
Yeah, we're not going to fire you yet. So just watch out. But you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. We're going to talk about the coaches that we think are going to be fired by the end of the season. Carl is obviously, front runner in that.
Does this mean he will be because we're the Nostradamus podcast now?
I'd like to believe so.
Well, is he the next one gone because we just brought him up?
I hope so. I know I don't hope so actually, because I feel like George Carl is still a capable head coach in the NBA. I don't think if he gets fired, I don't think he's going to be brought back to a different NBA team. Mm-hmm. But I still think he's a capable head coach. I still like George Carl.
An NBA finals runner-up in 96.
He was. Good job.
He was with the Supersonics.
Yes, he was. He was with the Supersonics. He also coached the Diva and Melo. But, yes. So we got Carl is on the hot seat. Who else is on the hot seat for NBA coaches?
I'm going to throw it out there, and it may be a shocker to you guys. Fred Hoiberg.
I was going to say.
Hoiberg.
I was going to say, are you taking mine?
No, this is one.
Mine was Hoiberg.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, mine is not this year. Next year.
I can say you can even fight for this year.
We could see Hoiberg being the D-fish David Blatt, fired after 2 years. Because what I'm seeing, maybe it's because it's my team, what we're seeing with players calling each other out, and it just seems like a dysfunctional mess right now. We were what? Third in the East, now we're at 7. Could be at 9, could be out of the playoffs.
You could see it as just a thing where, the Bulls, don't see anything in Hoiberg, and they see a lot out on the market, because, obviously they're not going to bring back Tibbs, but they might, they might see a lot in Hornacek. They might see Hornacek and be like, all right, we wanted to bring in Hoiberg for offense. Hornacek obviously succeeded in Phoenix in his first year, at least, and brought this team into a seventh best offense in the league. You got Jimmy Butler, who was a franchise piece. So, Hornacek might be a part.
I'm just seeing this team, especially when Taj comes out and starts talking about how, I've seen us, more crushed at, we just lost the game, and I've seen us more crushed after wins.
I see that because, this team is just falling apart. Really, they've fallen apart. I know injuries play a key to it because Paul's been injured. D. Rose has been injured. Jimmy just went down.
Actually, D. Rose's been healthy. That's the weird thing.
But he's still not 100%. You know what I'm saying?
Who knows what I would see 100% Jimmy. Or, I'm sorry, not D-Rose. D-Rose.
Yeah. Hopefully we see 100% Jimmy because that was damn an right. ugly-looking fall. And then he had to be carted off. But it's only 4 weeks. But I still feel Hoiberg is on the mark. On the hot seat, and you could see if they want to bring in someone new.
I give him the start of the next season to see if it's just like a weird transition between coaches. But right now, this isn't looking good, and that's why Hoiberg is. If you said coach to look out for, Hoiberg's the one.
Hoiberg may
at.
Be in the hot seat, but is a problem. Garpax, think about it. Because
I think they've always been a problem though.
It's look at how good Thibodeau is in past context. Looking back at it, 2020, but he was a good coach.
He was a great coach.
He just pushed his players.
Yeah, and that was the thing. He pushed his players to the limit. He, used them much more than other coaches were comfortable with doing.
Mm-hmm.
But same time, we got results every single year out of him. And every single year we competed for, a championship. Mm-hmm. So there's the question is, okay, well, we had that great run with him, and then with an extremely similar cast here, Hoiberg just can't even come close to those results. Is it his fault, or is it the fault that we haven't reloaded this team in the meantime to ensure we can continue competing?
We haven't reloaded to fit his system.
Hoiberg was brought in for offense. We've fallen off from last year where we were offensively, and we obviously haven't we weren't where we were for defensively. So I can see that Hoiberg might be the problem, but I also think, you know, Breinsdorf is definitely a problem. I mean, the owner of the Bulls, I mean, he's just...
Yeah, it's been that way for the last, you know, couple decades.
Yeah, and so. He's not going to get rid of Gar, so I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of issues here with Chicago. So I think Hoiberg's out there. I don't think that's kind of a crazy thing. I think Hoiberg's on the hot seat. Obviously, Byron Scott's on the hot seat. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, the Battle of Tank Commanders here. Byron Scott, Brett Brown.
The Battle of the Tank Commanders.
How about this? The team that doesn't get the number one pick, their coach gets fired.
I think that's fair.
Because they failed in even failing.
That was their job.
They failed in failing.
You were hired to lose games and soak up pick. Look,
but it's still ping pong ball, so I don't know if you can completely go off of that.
It doesn't matter. Both coaches suck.
I'm calling it
Byron
right
Scott
now.
Has
Lakers
done nothing.
Byron
pick.
Scott is awful.
He pretty much ruined. I'm gonna say ruined D'Angelo Russell's first half of a year. Personal, just based off of personal. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like him as a person. Kind of shit. It's like, you know what? You shouldn't just bench a rookie who's supposed to be the franchise going forward, picking up after Kobe. You know, for an entire fourth quarter. Like, how do you not play your point guard for that? Are you serious?
And Russell, really, I mean, he hasn't come out in the media and just been like, oh, this is awful. Like, he's taken it kind of like a professional,
and
too.
That's a great thing to see on the other side. But this is the time when you know, you want him out there learning. You want him out there putting his minutes in on a team when it's zero pressure. His job is to go out there, figure out the ball, figure out how to work with guys like Clarkson. These are going to be your teammates going forward. You need to build that relationship up with them, and instead you're sitting on the bench because your coach is an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, and looking at, you know, Los Angeles, we obviously brought up Luke Walton before for the Knicks, but he's obviously another choice for
the,
you know,
an option. Yeah,
he's an option for everybody looking for a coach.
But I mean, also he's got. I'm looking at the two main ties. You look at New York, he's got Phil Jackson. You look at the Lakers, that's where he played most of his career on the bench. So I mean,
that's a done.
I think those. Yeah, thank you. I think those two. Are the obviously two head, you know, two candidates there if he does go into the head coaching room, which he obviously will. But I mean, any other teams out there? I mean, Pelicans, do they fire Alvin Gentry?
Because I don't know if it's necessarily him on the. I don't think it's his fault, but they have underperformed.
But is he adding anything as well? And obviously he's not, you know, fantastic, but has he added anything even in his, you know, year with the Pelicans and even before that in Phoenix? He's really never been a star coach.
No, he doesn't do a ton to differentiate himself out from any of the other possible coaches out there. So I'm not totally, you know, saying he needs to keep this job for any reasons. I'm just saying he hasn't done enough to lose it yet. I think this next year will be the decider. If Anthony Davis stops progressing as a player, if we don't see them learn to use him in a new way or at least expand what he should be doing at this point, I think we have a problem.
I'm going to throw one final name out there. The Bucks suck this year. 22-32. Jason Kidd, basically with the same team as last year, even adding Greg Monroe, they've sucked. Does J Kidd get the boot in Milwaukee?
I think Jason Kidd's just a bad head coach, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you think he gets the boot? The boot?
Man, there are a lot of head coaches who should get the boot.
There's a lot of head coaches. There's,
you know who I'm surprised still has a job?
Who?
Frank Vogel. No, Frank
really?
Vogel. Surprise. I feel like after that, it was the year that Indiana was going to beat LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Was that the Heat team? When Hibbert had the game one, like, drive to the lane. After that year, I thought that Vogel should have been gone in Indiana, and it's a surprise that he is still around on that team. I mean, I know they're in the playoffs, or the sixth seed, if the playoffs were to start tomorrow.
So that's because Paul George is playing lights out.
But it's one of those things where it's like, how is Frank Vogel still the head coach of this team? How is he still the head coach?
He lost in the conference semifinal. He lost in the conference finals in back-to-back years in 2012 and 2013, and then he fell off this last year. But they also didn't have Paul George the last year. I think it's weirdly enough because we said that, you know, there's not a lot of great head coaches out there. I mean, looking even at Cleveland, they don't know if Tyronn Lue is going to be an amazing head coach.
If they fired Tyronn Lue,
I don't think that's going to be it.
But that just adds another team that Luke Walton could go to because he has ties to Cleveland because he played there.
Yeah, but I mean, who would ever think Luke Walton's going to be the biggest free agent?
Bill.
No, but like, think about it. Like, we always made fun of Luke Walton on the bench. Like, oh, Luke Walton's just, you know, he's Kobe's bitch. But yep. Now he might be the biggest free agent on the market.
My son, the biggest year. Head coach in NBA.
You don't know how a glockenspiel works?
You broke it, Bill. No, I didn't. It comes apart like that for travel.
If you haven't seen Bill Walton play with the glockenspiel on ESPN, it's absolutely fantastic. It's great. Oh, and that's going to be the wrap up of Nostradamus podcast, the Fast Break podcast episode. So, let's see. What was Luke Walton's number in L.A.? Does anyone have that
four.
It was four?
Cuatro.
That works. Dave's been here for 4 weeks. It's number four. Welcome to episode number four for Fast Break. Well, goodbye to episode number four for the Fast Break podcast. I'm Sean Anderson for Ricky Widmer. For Dave Oster, we will see you next week where we'll most likely be wrapping up the trade deadline, finally putting a cap to these trade deadline talks. Well, maybe we'll talk about the All-Star deadline. But anyways, follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod. I am at Schwarbo. Ricky is at Ricky Widmer. And Dave is at Dave Does Not Tweet.
We're still going to make that Twitter account.
We will make that Twitter account.
At Dave Does Not Tweet.
If you're on SoundCloud, hit that pretty little heart button. If you're also on SoundCloud, repost this to all your friends because we're pretty damn great. And then go, if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe and share this around because we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers sooner rather than later. But anyways, again, for Sean Anderson, Dave Oster, and Ricky Widmer, this is the Fast Break Podcast, and we will listen. Well, you'll hear from us next week.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.